Amen. We're going to be doing several things this year with the Lord's help, an outreach effort to reach new people in many different ways in all areas of life. One of those ways that we started that last night to start out the New Year's is we're reaching out to the military and the veterans. That covers a lot of people. A lot of people. The Marines, Navy, Army, Air Force, people who have served, people who are serving, people who are in Iraq fighting for our country. We have a new website that we're using as an outreach in this endeavor. It's not a site that comes out saying presented by the church or presented by this ministry. It's something that's being presented in a way that we feel that we can attract many veterans and military people and government leaders to pay attention to it and want to be a part of it. And that's what we hope. And over a period of time, as we become friends with people who are not afraid of us, shut the door now, they're starting to get cold. As people become friends and not afraid of us, and they start gradually finding out, and a lot of them be happy at the beginning, but sometimes they're a little bit afraid to be a part of something that is too churchy. And yet down inside every soul there's that longing for something to fill that void. Amen. So we're asking God to lead us in the endeavor. The name of the website is Freedom Rings in the USA.com. That's all spelled as one word. Freedom Rings in the USA.com. And some of you out there and some of you here would like you to join it if you would. But please don't do too much. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. I'm glad to be here. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have something to post on that site, try to do something patriotic. If you would, it's okay to thank God for the country, but thank God for America. But remember, it's an outreach tool. And we're going to be having some pictures of soldiers on the battlefield in today's world. And have something kind of unique. And we have an audio stream playing. People can listen to patriotic music. Some of it's a little bit wild. I have actually represented by Ren Rutledge, AC/DC. With patriotic screaming while President Bush is talking with their background music. And it's very effective, though, because it's very real. Amen. I don't think of it as rock music. I think of it as today's outreach effort for some people. If for no other reason, they'll listen to try to hear that music as the President of the United States is saying, pray. Amen. God help us, because all this is going on during the time this 7-Eleven, I mean the 911, 7-Eleven, think about a convenience store. Hey, the 911 we call it, but I mean it was a terrible thing that happened in New York City. Amen. But now, out of your curiosity, you just want to tune in and see what is going on over there, right? So it's freedomringsintheusa.com. Amen. Just getting started. Last night I was the only member there. I think we've got maybe three or four, maybe five now. And we expect it to go into the thousands. Amen. So we're making contact with a lot of veterans. Brother George is going to be helping and being an instrumental part in it. His son is representing our country in the military. And we thank God for every soldier boy out there and every soldier lady out there, don't we? Amen. Every military person, whatever they're doing. And they all need us to hold them up in prayer. Amen. Praise God. One of them gets saved. Won't that be great? I'm expecting it to happen. And we have people all over the world, including in Iraq right now, ready to baptize these folks in Jesus' name. So we don't have to worry about what are we going to do with them if they start finding God. Look, there are chaplains and there are people connected to chaplains and people all over this world connected to our military who are Jesus name baptized preachers filled with the Holy Ghost, ready to take them by the hand and say, you learned this much, let's go further. And we're going to all get together and work on this together as a team. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in the book of Romans. You want to stand for a moment? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The 12th chapter of Romans. I think we'll read the whole chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say, living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Would you say perfect? That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Overcome evil with good is this next part. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Everybody say, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're better than I am. Hallelujah. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. And I'll tell you this, it's not, but if it were. If it be possible. In other words, we're supposed to try to do this. If it's possible at all. If there's any way possible. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God bless you. You may be seated. I just want to go through this again now and comment as I go, and we'll pray and launch into the new year. Amen. Amen. This is the writing of Paul to the church. It's not just to the church at Rome, but this is the first church that heard these words, and this has been through many, many years since then, because the church at Rome, if you look at the first part of Romans, you'll see that it's also addressed to the people of God everywhere. Amen. The church at Rome received this first writing, and it probably didn't look like it looks to us today. I'm sure it wasn't a book like this, and it wasn't printed like this one is printed. It didn't have all the chapters and verses and the concordance in the back of it and page numbers on it like we have page numbers. What it had in it that we also have in this book is the Word of God. And it doesn't matter so much how the book is put together or what additional tools may be added to the front or the back of the book or in the margins to help us to study. The thing that matters most is this is the Word of God. Amen. And we're being taught by an apostle who's been dead for 2,000 years almost. But when we read this Word, it's the same as if the man is still alive here teaching us today. We do have apostles in this church. One of them is Paul. Hallelujah. Because though he be dead, the Word he delivered as he was inspired of God is very much alive. Death has no effect on the Word of God. Hallelujah. And his instructions are for us who are alive today, so that we know what to do. And it's not just because Paul wrote it, it's because God inspired it. Amen. And we're saying, we're receiving these words. I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you. Please, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. We couldn't do that without the mercies of God. That's what it's going to take for us to be able to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It certainly is. How much more reasonable could it be? Amen. We don't have to slave to make it happen. We don't have to walk on nails. We don't have to crawl on glass. We don't have to torture ourselves to cause this to happen. Present yourselves, amen, unto God, holy and acceptable. How? By the mercies of God. Thank you, Jesus. How else could we do it? If it hadn't been for the mercy of God, we could not be holy. If it had not been for the mercy of God in our lives, we would not be acceptable. Amen? But thank God for His mercy. The Word of God says His mercy endureth forever. His mercy is new every morning. By the mercies of God, we're instructed to present our bodies. Now, this isn't just talking about our Holy Spirit. To present our bodies. Pinch yourself a little bit. I'm talking about that part that you feel when you pinch yourself or you bump yourself. To present that part of you. Holy. And acceptable. Unto God. Which is your reasonable service. In order to do that, there has to be something that can happen that changes not only the spirit man, but the physical person. Amen. Because there is no way that in our flesh we can please God. But yet, we're instructed to present our bodies. Everybody say our bodies. Holy and acceptable. Again, it's the mercies of God. Our bodies have been at times not so holy, not so acceptable. But God's brought us from a long ways. Isn't it wonderful to be able to get baptized in the name of Jesus? Isn't it? What a change takes place. You notice when you go down into the water, it's not just your spirit going down into the water. There's a submission going on there. We're not just saying, I believe in baptism, and so I'm being baptized, and we just sit still. Thank you for the baptism, and go on. Praise God. But when we get baptized, we take our bodies into the water. Went to the water was cold, chilled my body, but not my soul. We take our bodies to the water. And the body, when we're baptized, goes under the water in the name of Jesus and comes out again. This is something that's instructed in the Word of God, that we be baptized, and the example was given. Jesus Himself was immersed in water as an example of righteousness, as an example of this is the good way to do it, be immersed in water. And the examples we see in the New Testament were they took them and went into the water and baptized them in Jesus' name. Praise God. They didn't just baptize their spirit, and they weren't just baptized into the spirit, but they were baptized by immersion, both body and soul. They were baptized physically, and there was a spiritual application taking place. And from that point on, we're instructed in the Word of God to arise and walk in newness of life. And we do that also, not just spiritually, but with our bodies. We don't talk the way we used to talk. We don't walk the way we used to walk. We don't live the way we used to live. We don't go to the places where we used to go. Why? Because we're presenting our bodies holy and acceptable. By the mercies of God, we're presenting our bodies, our physical bodies. Thank you, Jesus. May seem impossible, but God told us to do it, then He told us how we do it, by the mercies of God. Thank God for mercy. I would not be able to do this if it were not for mercy. It's easier for me to believe that I can present the Spirit that He's put in my life. I can present that to Him because that's His Spirit. That's holy. That's acceptable. But this body. Now, there are radicals who go to all kinds of extremes concerning some of these scriptures, and they quote scriptures about your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is true. When your body is holy and acceptable unto God, and when you have the Holy Ghost, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But there's so much more involved than just your physical body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. How do you build a house for God? How do you confine God to just one particular temple? Amen. Because every one of you that have the Holy Ghost tonight, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And everybody else that's worshiping God around the world tonight that have the Holy Ghost, their bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. But yet when God looks upon all His church, this body, His church, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But in order to get into this glorious church that is worldwide and universal, the body of Christ, we have to be fit into it with a body that's acceptable. Thank you, Jesus. You don't build a beautiful house with good material and then, just because it's convenient, grab something that's not good material and put it in a place where it will be depended upon. Praise God. And we don't do that, and neither does God. God's building a grand and glorious church, spotless and clean, holy, acceptable, and pure and perfect for Himself. Upon this rock I will build my church, saith the Lord. What are you building this church with? People. Amen. People that I have instructed to present their bodies holy. Everybody say holy. That means once your body starts rebelling on you, you have to take charge. Because sometimes the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. It's so much easier to follow God in spirit than it is with our bodies. It's a whole lot easier just to meditate on the goodness of God and to just be thankful and just praise Him and just be hallelujah. You know, go to bed at night and just lie there. Ooh, Jesus is wonderful. Thank God. And I'm certainly not putting that down in any way. That is needful. That's a must. We have to be able to do that. Amen. We're instructed to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. But we're also instructed to present our bodies holy and acceptable by the mercies of God. Thank God for mercy. Hallelujah. So that means when the body says, I don't want to pray, then somebody has to make a decision. It's like your little child, or you've seen these children, and other people have. None of our children would ever do this, but other people's kids. It's like a child says, I don't want to. Your body gets like that. My body gets like that. I don't feel like it. I just don't want to right now. And that's why sometimes we invite people to church and they don't show up even after they said they would be here. Because there's something inside that's being drawn. It's a spiritual thing that's happening. It's a drawing spirit to spirit saying, come unto me, follow me, I have what you're looking for. And when we invite them, they mean it. When they say, I'll be there. I will be there. But most of us, before we knew God, we were subjected so much to how we felt, how convenient it is, what we're going through at the moment, how busy our schedule is. And see, we have learned some things since then, but they're still yet to learn these things. So we invite them to church, and they say they're coming. Then after that service, we feel like they lied to us. Amen. And maybe they did, but so what's new? They lie all the time. But once you break through the barrier and you come to this ability to present your body, the only way you can go to church is take your body there. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you might be sitting at home on the computer saying, well, I'm going to church right now on the internet. Right. How you doing it? Your body's sitting in front of that computer. That's right. You ain't going to go to church without your body. I heard people say, well, I was there in spirit. That didn't count. Sorry I couldn't make it. I was there in spirit. Well, maybe we ought to watch these empty chairs. We might sit on somebody's spirit. I was there in spirit. No. I know what they mean. My heart was there. I was praying. I wanted to be there. And there are times when we know those things have to happen. But there comes a necessity sometimes that we don't just be there in spirit. We got to take our body too. I don't know how to give a spiritual handshake without using my hand. When we shake hands, people throw kisses sometimes, but there's nothing quite the same as the real kiss. Yeah, wouldn't you rather George really kiss you, Sister Annie? Not that he ever has, but I mean, wouldn't you prefer that than for him to say, and go off, you know? Amen. She agrees. She's going to speak in tongues in a minute. George, you stay over there like you're through preaching. All right. But it's hard for a kiss to be acceptable when a husband and wife are really close and he's got to go to work and they're standing there face to face and she's wanting that kiss and he takes off out the door and just turns around and throws her a kiss. When he could have stood there and physically at least given her a little one on the cheek. My dad married a couple. They'd been living together for 50 years. And had some grandchildren. But he was, I think the man was 86 and she was 87 or something like that. And they'd been living together all these years and so they decided to get married. And when he came to that part, he said, it's an order to kiss the bride. She said, you do it and I'll slap the devil out of you. So something had happened in their relationship. They didn't kiss anymore. But I just got a feeling tonight if Brother Joe and Sister Carolyn had to be apart for a while, and Sister Carolyn had to go on a trip. And he would walk her to the door and take her to the car and open the car door for her, and because they're still on their honeymoon. I watch them. I see how they are. He'd take her to the car and say, "I'll see you next week. I'm going to miss you." And when she would go, and then open her eyes, and he'd be walking off. And then he'd turn around, "See you later." That wouldn't be quite the same, would it, Sister Carolyn? It wouldn't do. We expect something more than just throw me a kiss. We expect a handshake to be a real hand. We know people care about us. We know we're friends. But sometimes there's that something special in taking somebody by the hand with a firm grip. Look them in the eye with real eyes and say, "I appreciate you." Hallelujah. A real hug is better than a spiritual hug. But it never needs to be anything less than spiritual unless it's your companion or, you know what I'm talking about. Watch how far you go with your hugs. Amen. God says, present your body. That means we need to do more than think, "I love you, Jesus." We need to say it sometimes. Hallelujah. We need to do more than just feel a praise inside of us. We need to praise Him sometimes. When we feel like lifting our hands to heaven, we need to lift them sometimes. Thank you, Jesus. When there's something in your body that's trying to hold back, but in your heart and in your spirit, you're wanting to shout and jump and praise Him and maybe run around a little bit, it's time to tell that body, "You're going to do it God's way." Because there's mercy involved here. There's love involved here. There's grace involved here. And we haven't come this far and left the body somewhere else. No, body, you're going to shout when I want to shout. And you're going to go when I want to go. And you're going to praise when I feel like praising. Hallelujah. You can't dance all that well unless you use your feet sometimes. It's hard to clap your hands unto the Lord unless you use your hands. Shout praises to the Lord with your mouth, with your tongue, with uplifted hands. Praise your God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The body wants to hold back, but mercy has given us opportunity to present our bodies holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'll try to rush because I could just take each verse and go for 30 minutes on each one. What I just read there is a long lesson in itself. But I want to hit some high points. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, refresh yourself. You know, remind yourself, "I'm a child of God. How did I get here? How do I stay here? What would God require of me? What do I need to do?" And keep reminding yourself, God comes first. There's some things that are important. There are priorities. Amen. My mind needs to be filled with good thoughts. I need to continue to lean to His understanding, not my understanding. Sometimes if you don't know what to think or how to think or what to do, it's good to grab a Bible and just start reading it. Something will happen. You read long enough, something will happen. Because what you're doing when you read the Word of God, you're filling your mind with something that needs to be there in order to help you refresh and renew your mind. If you can't think of a good place to read, then read a place that you know is a good place. Don't just get over in Leviticus and just read and read and read and read and read till you get bored. Amen. But if your mind needs renewing, find something with some victory in it. And remind yourself, hey, I've got the victory too. Find some passages where God provides healing and restoration and delivers His people. And they come out shouting the victory and praising God. Hallelujah. Read it again. Read it again. Amen. And remember, He is a deliverer for me now. Let your mind be filled with the thoughts that God can deliver me. God can help me. God can lift me up. I promise you, no matter how confused you are, you do that. After a while, your hand's going to go up a little bit. After a while, you're going to stand up and those feet are going to do just a little bit of moving. Praise God. Renewing your mind affects your whole body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what happened when you were baptized in Jesus' name. You were transformed. You were transformed. You were changed. We were made different. We became new creatures. I'm not talking about just the water immersion, but it's all one package. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost, it's all one thing. Hallelujah. If you got part of it, you got part of one great thing. Be thankful for what you got and keep on going till you get it all. And then endure to the end. Don't lose any of it. Hallelujah. My Lord, have mercy. So much I want to say, but let's move forward. For I say through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to the God, to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. So you're able to get some good things to happen because you're a church person now. And you're among the people who know how to pray the prayer of faith. Amen. And just because things are going good in your life, don't give yourself credit for it all. Because the same God that has brought you out of sin and prospered you and set you on a good road and made things good in your life, amen, is able to just say, okay, do it your way. And you already tried your way. We've already been down that rough road. Isn't God's way much better? Can you think of something good that's happened since you gave your life to God that's better than life was before? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't think too highly of yourself. Remember, before you repented of your sins, before you got baptized in Jesus' name, before you got there, in one way or another, we all were failures. Hallelujah. Only thing successful about our life up to that point was that we decided to present our bodies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a decision that was. Instead of presenting our bodies to the nightclub, to the bar stool, to the gang on the street, to the drugs, to the peer pressures, to the whiskey, to the bad living with men and women, instead of presenting our bodies in that way, something happened. Somebody broke through with some preaching or teaching or testimonies or just a smile or a friendship that drew us to want to know more. And finally we saw something we wanted to know more about until we became convinced, this is something that's going to help me. Thank you, Jesus. And pretty soon it gained momentum and we just had to go on. We had to go on. Once you get this thing going, it's hard to stop it. Because your body and your soul and your spirit and your mind, every part of you gets involved. Next thing you know, people don't understand you. Your family, your friends, you present your body to places you've always been and you're not like you used to be. So what's up, Doc? What happened to you? You can still do this stuff. It's because you go to that church don't mean you can't. That preacher making you live like this? What kind of people are them? Why are you changing so much? You don't go there anymore? Why not? We still go. You think you're more holy than we are? We're Christians too, you know. And I'm your daddy. I'm your mama. If you're in my house, you drink what I serve. I paid money for this stuff. Besides, one little drink won't hurt you. And here, have a cigarette. You heard the latest joke. Here it comes. Something you used to be a part of. Something you used to laugh at. Something you used to enjoy. Now you can't hardly wait to get out of there. You still love them. Something's changed. It's different now. My body has become holy. My body has become acceptable to God. And I don't do what I used to do. I don't live like I once lived. I've been transformed. Hallelujah. Amen. And I can't go back. I can't be like the world anymore. Amen. Don't think any more highly than you ought to think. Think level-headed. Amen. We have many members in one body. And this can be taken more than one way. But it all works together. You have your fingers, your toes, your heart. You know, you got all parts of your body you can think of. It's all important. As we've mentioned many times, you don't want anybody to cut your little toe off, even if it hurts. But then we all have the body of Christ to consider too. And each one of us individually are fitly framed into God's great body of Christ. We all have our place. We're all important. We're all needed, and we need each other. And God's counting on us to be a part of what He's doing, bringing something together. And I thank God for the privilege to be part of this. I want to fit in, don't you? It's okay, even if you don't see what the one next to you may see about certain issues, just to be a part of it, to try to line yourself up, to say, we're together in this, even if it requires changing some things concerning your body. What's wrong with that? You're trying to present it unto God. By the mercy of God, holy and acceptable. That means the things of this world may not be so holy anymore. And you may have to shed a few things, but it's all right, because I'm bringing this to God, whether it wants to go or not. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now God provided mercy so I can do this, and I'm going to do it. But His help. And you ain't got nothing to say about it, buddy. You talk good about God and church. And your mouth opens up and wants to talk about something else. You say, shut up! Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do this. It's okay to tell your own body to shut up. Just don't use that too much on other people. Hallelujah. I have many members in one body. We're just one little small group of people in a northeast United States. There are thousands of us around the world. And we're part of it. We're part of it. They need us. We need them. I'll tell you something else. Everybody that's preaching Jesus, no matter what level they're at, and no matter how much we disagree doctrinally, they're not to be considered as an enemy we should fight against. We need to be careful how far we go in our arguments and our debates. We need to guard our tongues and be mindful of the fact we didn't always understand what we know now. What we know now is a gift of knowledge that came from God in the power of the Holy Ghost. And not everybody has experienced this at this point. And so they can only understand what they understand. But thank God for any measure of faith that has brought somebody from darkness to a point where they accept Christ into their lives. Now, we know that there's more to being saved than saying, I accept Christ, I believe on the Lord, and confessing and all. We know that. But there's no good thing that can really come out of arguing the issue. More good can come out of agreeing that what you have done is good. The fact that you believe, I have too, I can relate to that. Thank God you're a believer, I'm a believer. Doesn't that feel a whole lot better saying, you're wrong and you need to get right? And that doesn't mean you've compromised or I've compromised, but there's a whole lot more hope to winning somebody by leading them than there is in driving them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because the only reason they have believed, the only reason they have accepted Christ, the only reason they have confessed Christ in their life, the only reason they feel that they're saved because somebody has taught them that they're saved by what they have done according to what they have done in their church that teaches these things that everybody else is doing it this way. The only reason they're doing any of this is because they're trying to present their bodies unto God holy and acceptable. They just don't know how to do it all. And many of them think they've already arrived. But then they get in your presence, and there's something different about you. That something different does not mean that you can, doesn't need to be, that we can argue better than they can argue. Although we have a good argument. And sometimes we do have to take a stand. But taking a stand and leaving with bitter feelings can be two different things. It's possible to take a strong stand and maintain a relationship. It takes a lot of wisdom. This kind of wisdom comes from God. It's almost impossible to have a difference of opinion about salvation, the Godhead, and all these things. It's almost impossible to get into a discussion about these issues that goes into an argument and becomes a very controversial feeling, you know, deep emotional feeling over controversial things. It's almost impossible to leave that moment of that conversation with good feelings. Amen. Because things get said that hurt on both sides. It might be a loved one, it might be a friend, it might be a neighbor. But things get said. And you know you're right. And you know they're wrong. But they think they're right. And they think you're wrong. So somebody has to take the lead. I think it's a shame and a disgrace when the lead in love is the one who doesn't have the full truth yet. You know, when the one that shows the most love, the most kindness, is the one that needs what we've got. If there's going to be a contest, let's let the contest be on who can love the most. Hallelujah. Who can be the most kind, the most gentle, the most able to hold ourselves and govern ourselves and wait on the Lord for the wisdom. If you... Maybe none of you ever done this. I don't know. Maybe some of you had. If you've ever been deer hunting. I used to go deer hunting. I'm not talking about deer hunting as in Brother Bill going after Deer Judy. If you've ever been deer hunting in the woods, you don't go through the woods saying, deer, come to me. I want you to come now to me. It doesn't work that way. In order, if you want a good meal of venison or you want some deer meat, and that's your purpose for being out there and you're trying to survive and feed your family, which a lot of people just kill for sport. I don't really believe in that. But the meat is provided for those of us that can endure some of these things.
If you want
Amen. I never really shot a deer. I didn't have the heart to. But I learned some things about hunting deer. I saw some. I could have shot them. I just couldn't do it. For some reason, I could shoot possums and coons and things like that, but I couldn't shoot a deer. I don't know. Now I can't even shoot a possum. I have trouble stepping on an ant. It bothers me. They all got mamas. There was a time and all this didn't faze me, but life is precious. Life is precious. You know, and when we get mindful of life and the Creator that brought forth life, we need to come to an appreciation of anything that has to do with the living. And we need to realize people are living creatures that are special in the eyes of God. So when we're talking to a people, there needs to be some respect. There needs to be some level-headed things going on, some wisdom. And there needs to be, and it's better not to get into the subject of church or doctrine or how to be saved. It's better not to even talk about that unless first you've presented your body holy and acceptable unto God. Maybe in a prayer room or next to your bed kneeling or at church yielding to the Spirit of God and enduring the long preaching and still being happy with your preacher when he gets through. Because there's something on the backside that says, hurry up, or I'm going to have to get up. I can't take no more. And I understand after I've gone for 45 minutes, if you need to get up and walk around, it's okay. But you know what I'd really enjoy when you do get up and walk around? If you leap a little bit too. Because that brings rest too. Hallelujah. Or maybe just walk around and say, hallelujah. Because you know what can happen? One body doing that can get everybody doing that. Thank you, Jesus. That's something about presenting our bodies to God. It just seems to affect others. Have you ever noticed one person can start praising the Lord and next thing you know somebody else starts and pretty soon everybody's praising the Lord? It's like laughter. Somebody can start laughing. Well, so they laugh. But if they keep on laughing... We once had a tape, you know, it was just a loop and it was nothing but laughter. Nothing but laughter. At first, you sit there and you listen to it thinking, how silly. Because, you know, what are they laughing about? And so you turn it on and it's, and you can be sitting there in a really bad mood listening to this silly nut. And pretty soon, everybody in the building is laughing, including the mother-in-law, the daughter-in-law, the daddy, the mama, the kids. Somebody comes in and says, what are y'all laughing about? I don't know. Worship that way, too. I mean, you know, somebody can just say, praise the Lord, and we're used to that. But if that person keeps on praising the Lord, wait a minute, something's going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody might come in and say, why are all of you praising the Lord? No, I don't know. But I'm praising Him. Hallelujah. Let me rush through and get out of here. Amen. So anyway, we have all these gifts and they're all different, but we're all part of one. And going down to let love be without dissimulation, let's go on through that and go on to the next and be kindly affectionate. Everybody say kindly affectionate. Means we need to like each other. With brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. A while ago when I said, you're better than me, and say to somebody, you're better than me. Whether you meant it or not, your body didn't enjoy that. But something in the Spirit says, this is good. Because the tendency in all of us is to think, I'm better than you. It's abnormal to say, you're better than me. Can you imagine your children telling another kid, you're better than me? That's hard to do. Besides that, I don't really mean it if I say that to anybody. I don't mean it at all because I know they're not better than me. Anyway, that's what my body tries to say. But then the Bible says for us to prefer one another. Well, a good test of that is, are you able to look at somebody and say, I want you to prosper more than I prosper. I want you to be blessed more than I get blessed. I want you to have a greater relationship with God than I've ever known. Amen. Now, you want all that for yourself, don't you? Well, that's how you get it. Want it for somebody else so much that you're willing to be for them whatever God requires. Because when you present your body holy and acceptable to God, it becomes without pretense, without dissimulation, true, perfect love for your brothers and your sisters in such a way that they just, oh my, they get so blessed. Just because you're such a blessing. And you want them to be blessed. And the more you want them to be blessed, the more you get blessed. It's like giving and helping with your money. The more you give, the more you give. And the more you get, so you can give. And the more you give of that, the more you get to give. It just keeps on flowing. Just keeps on flowing. There's a joy in being able to help others. And to want others to do good. Amen. Amen. Be kindly affectionate, preferring one another. Don't be slothful in business. It's not talking about business as far as your job or your store that you run. Although it certainly would include that if you're not slothful in business. But this is the business of God. This is getting down to business, and this is doing the business that God wants us to do. Amen. Concerning each other and concerning our own living for God. Be fervent in spirit in serving the Lord. Don't let the prayer just be mundane repetition. Let it be something real. But if you're not at that point yet, do what you can to get there. Say Our Father as many times as you need to until you finally get past that point where it becomes fervent. There's a difference in Our Father which art in heaven. Oh God, you're my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And it's easy for everybody to say, hey, preacher, you're supposed to be instant in season, out of season. Well, it applies to you too. Instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. It means no matter what's going on, no matter how important things are, it's always time to be able to pray now. Amen. It's hard to make your body want to pray when it's thinking wrong, doing wrong, dressing wrong, living wrong, going to the wrong places, and being with all the wrong environments. When we're instructed by the mercies of God to be holy and acceptable unto God, and all of a sudden there's a need that you pray. But if we keep ourselves, hallelujah, with all diligence. Thank you, Jesus. At the drop of a hat, your body will pray. Your lips will say words. And you will have faith. And God will be there to meet the need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. How do you do that? It's not a thing where somebody's being mean to you and say, bless you. It's not it. Bless them that persecute you. All this simply means is don't try to get even. Don't try to hurt them. Don't try to show them how great you are and how little and no good they are. Just be a child of God. And your very presence, your very existence, holy and acceptable to God, is a blessing to everybody, including those that are being mean to you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Hey, I got a new Cadillac. I won it by winning at the casino. Ooh, look at all this money I got. And you know what? We don't need to say, I don't believe in that. You don't, but don't say it. What should we do? If we're going to be wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service by the mercies of Christ, presenting ourselves unto God, we go on and follow all these instructions, and we rejoice with them that rejoice. I won $50,000 at the casino, went out and bought myself a new car. How you like that? Man, I'm excited for you. That's wonderful that you're able to have a new car. Oh, how thrilled you must be. And when they say, well, maybe you should go out there and try it too. Well, sorry, I need to go to church. That's my church night. And even if it's Wednesday night or Friday night or Saturday night, it's still your church night. Hey, you can always use that for an excuse. They say, you had church on Saturday night? Yes, how long you been doing that? Just started this week. Nobody comes but you. Come on down. Come on down to the church. Present yourself wholly acceptable. Don't envy their riches. Don't envy what they're able to get, what they're able to own. Just rejoice with them that rejoice, and then be exceedingly glad that your name is written in the book of life, that your body is holy and acceptable unto God. It's okay to have church by yourself in this building. It's okay. Let's praise Him tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish up now. Amen. Rejoice them that rejoice. Be of the same mind one toward another. In other words, the same way that you rejoice them that rejoice. Amen. Be of the same mind one toward another. Want each other to be happy. Don't try to outdo each other. Don't try to be something you shouldn't be. Don't think so high of yourself. Prefer each other. Praise God. Somebody else gets to sing a song. That's wonderful. Thank God. Well, if they get to sing twice, you don't get to sing at all. That's great. I hope they sing three times. I love to hear that person sing. You know you can sing and get better, but you're not daring. You're not going to dare say it. Or maybe you think you know it. Don't think too much on that. You may not sing as well as you think you do. No, just be real. Hey, sing again, Brother Danny. Brother Danny. Brother Dana. Brother Danny Pooh. Amen. Sing again. Some old grump said, well, he sings in every service. Amen. Praise God. Just don't let that old grump be any of you. Because we all need to say, well, praise God. I hope he sings twice tonight. How about three times? Sing all night, Brother Dana. I love your singing. If you don't like his singing, start liking it. Even if he sings out of tune, like it anyway. That's your brother. He's singing to the Lord. Who cares if he gets out of tune sometimes? Thank you, Jesus. I dreamed about you last night, Brother Dana. I dreamed you were out of tune. I honestly did. I dreamed, like we used to do in Kids Praise Club, I came over to tune you up. I grabbed a hold of your ear, and I twisted it off. I dreamed that last night. I was tuning Brother Dana up by the ear, going ding, 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 and all of a sudden his ear came off in my hand. I don't think it's a spiritual dream. I ate some food before I went to bed. But anyway, praise God. I did dream that. Amen. Amen. So rejoice and rejoice. Be of the same mind one toward another. Recompense no man evil for evil. In other words, they did me bad, so I'm going to do them bad. No. Amen. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you. Now here's where the catch is. As I said, it's not always possible to be at peace with all men. But the instruction is, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you. Now, that may be difficult, but that is possible. That you could put forth an effort with the help of God that no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how they act, no matter what they think, I'm going to stay right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stay pure. I'm going to stay consistent. I'm going to do what I can. If they don't like it, I'm going to stay peaceful anyway. I'll stay at peace with all men, no matter what they try to do to me. They ain't going to upset my apple cart because I got the Holy Ghost in here. Hallelujah. Just because they want to fight and want to have war all day, it doesn't mean I have to. Ain't going to rope me into that. I'm presenting myself to God. Sometimes you just have to stop the conversation. Doesn't mean you're being mean, but you don't have to partake of what they partake of. Amen. Just, if you have to walk away, walk away. Praise God, but love them as you walk away. Care about them no matter how they're shouting those four-letter words behind you. Keep walking and keep smiling and keep loving God. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be all right. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably. It's your job to live peaceably. They don't have to, but we need to. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. That's another hard one. Hey, you know what he did to me? He's got this coming to him. But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, and it's easy to read that and feel real good about it. Yeah, God will get them. No, well, you don't have to get even with them. God's going to take care of them. He's going to get them real good. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad you got that vengeance. Use it. No, he says, vengeance is mine. Okay, if vengeance is his, then let's let him keep it. If he wants to use it for whatever reason, that's God's business. It belongs to him. So, if vengeance belongs to God, and if I belong to God, and I presented myself holy and acceptable, what have I got? I mean, where does any vengeance I might try to use come from? It has to come from God. Well, God's way is love, forgiveness, mercy, grace, compassion. If they hit you, turn the other cheek and let them do it again. Somebody said, yeah, but he didn't tell us what to do this third time. He really did. And really, there's no end to it. They slapped you around 1,000 times, turn it one more time. Yeah, I don't know if I could do that or not. Well, now, look. Everything we say is not necessarily that you got to stand there and let them slap your face 1,000 times. If you don't have sense enough to go running away while they're trying to slap the other cheek, then go ahead and stand there.
Praise God.
But there's a spiritual application here. There's a lot greater slap that can come your way sometimes, and the hand on the cheek has nothing to do with it. How many of you feel like you're slapped around sometimes? Hallelujah. Turn the other cheek. It has more to do with this. When something's coming against you, rather than try to go against it, turn the other way. It doesn't mean, although it can mean that, but if you're not a glutton for punishment, leave. And don't slap them back. Just get out of there. You can turn the other cheek by running out the door too. Praise God. Let's thank Him one more time. Where are you going? I gotta hurry. This is my church night. What time you have church? It starts in 5 minutes. See you later. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it's Monday night. And it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. We just started having church at 4:05 every Monday. It's all stand. Hallelujah. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Let it go ahead and rage all it wants to. You got things to do, places to go, and people that love to be loved that you need to talk to. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And that makes you feel real good, too, that, oh boy,
and feed him. That makes his head burn.
No, that's not what it means. It means in being kind and gentle and being nice and doing your part to please God, that person's going to become very uncomfortable. I want to know what it is that turns you on and makes you like you are. Why don't you fight back? Amen. And their old brain just goes till it gets real hot and it finally almost explodes. But we put the fire out in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I got a phone call this week, one of several I've had in the last few weeks. Somebody listened to it today, and they're still in church tonight, thank God. But it wasn't a pleasant phone call. I don't know some of the stuff that was said, but I know some of the stuff that was said, and I didn't want to hear that, but it was said. How many of you want to hear that? No, you probably don't. And I don't want to play it to you. Because you can hear all those words on your job or down the street or stop at a red light and stay too long. You can hear these words on that answering machine. Praise God. What are you going to do about it, Brother Rutledge? Praise God. Yeah, well, what are you going to do about it, Brother Rutledge? I just told you. Praise God. Let's do that now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I love you. We're fearfully, we're wonderfully made. You have brought us from the dust and to a place where you can inhabit our praises. Thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. 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 Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to go around hugging them all the time or trying to kiss them all the time. You don't have to call them every few minutes and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But love them. Love them enough that you stay close to God. Keep them in prayer. Perhaps they'll become your friend someday. Let's thank Him one more time. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. That's the truth. Amen. Thank God for truth. Amen. Amen. Thank God for truth. Praise God. Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for everyone present. Thank you for completing the work that you started. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy truly endures forever. God, we thank you, Lord, for the power to keep what we have committed unto you as we're keeping ourselves by the power of God. The desire to live for you. Thank you for this wonderful word tonight. God, cause it, Lord, to dwell in everyone richly tonight. Let it be a remembrance when they wake up tomorrow. Hallelujah. The goodness of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let God continue to work in your life. Don't be discouraged. Amen. God bless you.